Good morning, planet Earth. Good morning to the various tribe people of the moon. Good morning, moon people. It's Friday the 13th, 2021, in the age of Boblimpdoc. You can hear the rustling of the branches in the darkness, can't you? Because it's just after midnight, Mountain Standard Time, and you know something's lurking in the dark. You know that something is lurking in the dark. You know that there are creatures watching you by the night. You know that there are Haglamite witch hordes and various Bigfoot armies waiting in the mountains to swoop in and steal your brand new car. But you keep it together, buddy. Because it is Friday the 13th. I can't believe it, can you? Friday the 13th, 2021, that's really auspicious. And we should sit back and contemplate the meaning of that. I'll do so as I drink my Folgers instant coffee. So this particular podcast might be another bit of a ramble, in part because a listener sent me an email, and before I go too much further, I'm not going to tell you who it was. All I can say, it's a pretty cool dude. He's been really cool. He's been a listener for a few weeks now. And so before I go much further in describing the nature of the email, I want you to know that this is a really, I think this is a cool person. So in no way am I like pointing out and saying, look at this guy. He's saying something crazy. He listened to my Deadlock podcast where I talk about George Floyd and the murder of George Floyd. And before we go too much down the road, after 2020, I was only convinced of one thing, that pretty much everything I was being told was bullshit. So, in retrospect, there were probably a few weeks where I looked at the George Floyd video and I suspended disbelief and I allowed myself to contemplate the idea that this was all an authentic event. Right in the middle of the monkey herpes pandemic, right in the middle of all the Trump nonsense, right in the middle of all the trauma drama, and frankly, a Democratic nomination process that was crooked as F, right in the middle of all that, you have the murder of George Floyd, you have the slow motion suffocation on video of George Floyd by that particular officer. I don't even care. Derek Chauvin. He seems like he was made for the role. When you look at the video, he does a great job of staring directly into the camera. Now, I'd said on the podcast Deadlock, I'd said, you know, I don't understand how the person could just record it. Why didn't they do anything? And this listener that emailed me pointed out that, you know, it might be reckless and maybe now is the time not to be doing those things. And he also thought that perhaps it went against my message. And what I want to be clear about is one thing. Since March of 2020, I have been very clear that we are being exposed to psychological manipulation. I have been pretty clear for about 7 or 8 months that I believe the government of the United States is much weaker than any of us have any idea about. Like, I don't think they can remotely do the things they're threatening. Yeah, they can tell you about FEMA camps and they can tell you about this and that. And perhaps they can do some demos that look like the real thing, but I don't actually think our federal government is really capable of doing the stuff they think and say they can do. I don't. I actually think it's a lot of propaganda. They would like us to believe that there's 10 cops for every one person. It's actually more lopsided the other way. They would like you to believe that all the people in the military and all the people on SWAT teams and police departments are Rambo. But that's not true. It's not even close to being true. They want you to believe that they are indestructible. And so the point of the listener was, you know, you were potentially giving bad advice for people to do something that could get them harmed or in trouble. I will tell you this, after 2020, we have plenty of harm. We have plenty of trouble. We don't need any more, but we also are probably not going to get any less. I've also told people in the past, and this goes way back to the Little Saigon Report, I've said that you should not engage with the government. You should avoid the cops. I still think this is good advice. However, if the cops are coming to your home and threatening your home, where are you going to retreat to? Where are you going to go to? I don't think that's going to happen. But where do you go to at that point? How much more time do we have to simply do nothing? You know, I think we need to get over the we only get one shot, but that doesn't mean we get an infinite number of shots. And I say shots, I mean opportunities. We don't get one, but we also don't get an infinite number. The clear and obvious message of the psyops we've been exposed to is don't do anything. Stay home and do nothing. So I think you should probably disobey that. That's probably killing you. That's probably harming your family, the stay at home and do nothing. And if you live in a neighborhood or in a town that rebukes all this COVID nonsense, because it is nonsense, then God bless. That means you can walk around without a mask on almost like it's 2019. Before I go much further, so you can understand where I'm coming from, I've lived in cities and I've visited cities, but I grew up in a really kind of a small town. Not super small, but it was Skagit Valley, Washington, Mount Vernon, Washington, 1970s and 80s. And I want to emphasize the 1970s because really, it was a pretty isolated place. When I met my ex-wife, she grew up in Chicago, and she would talk about, you know, muggings and the stuff that would happen. Someone tried to mug me on Christmas Eve when I was in Chicago. Something I never expected to happen, nor on Christmas Eve, just goes to show how naive I am that people wouldn't be mugging each other on Christmas Eve. They didn't steal anything. I tricked them. I mean, they were drunk, so it wasn't hard to trick them. But I think my ex-wife was shocked that I was shocked. You see, I don't understand how a community could allow anybody to slowly execute anybody in the middle of the street. I don't care if it's the cops. I don't care if it's gang members. I don't care who it is. I wouldn't want to live in that community, and I'm emphasizing this point. I would not want to be associated with those kinds of people. No, we should not go around engaging with police. But if you live in a neighborhood and one of your neighbors is being slowly executed in the street, that's not seeking violence. That's violence being visited upon your home. That's your children seeing a cop murder somebody. That is a stain upon your community, if it really happened. The whole thing took almost 10 minutes. 10 minutes to slowly kill George Floyd. Imagine, if it were real, how the world would be different if 10 or 15 people intervened. There were a couple cops, maybe there were four cops, but they're not Rambo. And chances are most of them have never had to shoot a gun at another person. Probably if they did, they didn't hit their target. So if your fear is standing up to the cops in your neighborhood, down the street from where you live, is going to get you in trouble, all I can tell you is, how much further do you think you can be pushed back? You see, I believe the fellow that emailed me lives in a more rural community. I could be wrong. I didn't ask. I think he does. And so if I lived in a, well, I live in a rural community right now. And so there is zero, well, number one, nobody's being executed in the streets here. I also am not convinced that happened in Minneapolis. I'm sorry. I'm not convinced the George Floyd story is true. I think it probably is total crap. I really do. I just don't think any of it is true. But again, I live in a community. I've not seen it happen here. I have never seen something like that in my entire life. So if it's something that happens a lot, I've been really lucky and I haven't seen it directly, right? But where I grew up, that didn't really happen. Where I grew up, people did not worry about being mugged. Where I grew up, people didn't worry about being murdered and raped. Basically, the time and place that I grew up, it's gone forever. These were not concerns. So maybe it is my own inability to conceive of being a city dweller in a community where I would just watch somebody being executed. When I saw the nonsense happening in my neighborhood last year, I could have stayed in my little pod and done nothing. What I did do is I did set up an open-air Christian service in my neighborhood. What I did do is I went to Chapchaschopia with a camera, unafraid, with a friend of mine, to videotape reality, which turned out to be completely government-funded. In fact, if it weren't for, if I hadn't have been going on that trip, 4th of July weekend, the very day I took the videotape where the two Antifa dingbats came up to me and said, stop, if I wasn't getting ready to go to 4th of July weekend, I wouldn't have stopped. So what does that make me? I see an insult happening on the street. I see people acting like thugs. I can cower in my corner, or I can say, I have a right to be on the sidewalk. I have a right to be standing here. And yes, by doing that, by wanting to push back a little against the evil, against the darkness, of course you take some risk. But it is the right thing to do, I think. I think the fellow that emailed me was correct. Don't risk your family over nonsense. Do not risk your family over psyops. I think what happened to George Floyd was a completely constructed event. Maybe he was really killed, but he wasn't killed for the reasons you think. I don't think he was killed at all. I don't. I don't think any of that actually happened the way that we were shown. I think the trial was a farce. I think right now there's very little evidence that any of the Antifa BLM nonsense was organic. It was funded. It was created. It was expected. It was scheduled. Right about the time, the first time people started to realize the COVID nonsense was nonsense, blammo, you get George Floyd. Right at exactly that moment. At the moment people are beginning to question this lie that was destroying businesses, you get George Floyd. I don't really believe in coincidences like that. And when they're terribly done coincidences with shots that are too great, where Derek Chauvin or whatever is looking directly into the camera as he is, you know, suffocating to death George Floyd, it's hard for me to believe any of that's real. So in a way, we're talking about nonsense. Like, we're talking about an issue that has zero mass. The BLM Antifa thing was fakery, government-sponsored nonsense from the beginning. Maybe someone out there has a better explanation, but I actually have a Seattle employee admitting they're someplace to help BLM and Antifa. So I don't need any convincing that the government was involved. Probably you might, somebody out there, I don't know who, but I don't need any convincing. And I would not want to live in a neighborhood. You know, the thing about what happened to George Floyd, and my point is, let's say, for the sake of argument, that you lived in the middle of nowhere in the Midwest, and you were visiting Chicago, and you saw that happening to somebody, and you have a family. I guess that's a judgment call, because that's not your neighborhood. You could probably say to yourself, this is not my neighborhood, this is not my city, and those statements are true, and I'm not even sure that I would judge you too harshly. Because you are a parent, and what are you going to do without any real information? Just jump in? But supposedly, and this is where you need to put on your thinking helmet, supposedly, George Floyd was a beloved member of his community. Supposedly, everybody knew who he was. Supposedly, he was so well known, it was worth setting several cities on fire because he was killed. So if he was so well known and so critical and such a big part of his community and so beloved, then it seems like somebody in that neighborhood would have done more than just record him being killed. Somebody. It might even have been as simple as asking that police officer questions. In yesterday's podcast, I said you could pick up a rock. Don't pick up a rock. Just ask him some questions. Go up to him and say, what the hell are you doing? And if you want to, I might grab a hose. I gotta be honest with you. I might, I don't know. I got so angry last summer in Little Saigon, I was very close to doing many things that if I had kids wouldn't have been the right thing to do, but I don't. And think about that for a second. Don't you think there would have been a few people on those streets that so loved George Floyd, that didn't have kids, that also had an opportunity to do something? That was their neighborhood, not the visitor from Texas. It's their neighborhood. If you live in a small town and you're walking down the street in your small town and you see a cop slowly strangling to death another human being, what do you do? A, do you record them on a video camera? B, do you run away? Or C, do you run as fast as you can and tackle that cop? Maybe you get shot. What's clear is somebody's going to die that day, right? Someone's going to die. Now, if you have a family, I understand. I get it. But we're not talking about going out and seeking confrontation with police. In my humble opinion, if they're doing this in your hometown, if they're doing this in your neighborhood, in the city, yeah, it's not the same as busting down your door and then strangling George Floyd in front of you, but it's pretty close because there are people walking their dogs, actually out with their kids. There's maybe a public school nearby. There are people who want to have lives that are not horrible, terrible, disgusting stories of despair. And by the way, my ire is not directed at the person who wrote the email. As stated, I think this person's pretty cool. And I'm glad he wrote the email because it made me think about this again. Let me be clear. I believe, and I believed this for 6 months, that our government is in collapse. Let me be clear. A psyop is a weapon of weakness, all things being equal. There are very few examples of where they're used because you're strong. Sometimes they're used to project strength, like, you know, fake inflatable tanks, you know, like SDI. So yeah, sometimes they're used to make it seem as if an opponent is stronger than what they are, sure. But when they're telling you they're super strong over and over and over again, doesn't that get to the point where you say maybe they're pushing this too hard? Maybe they're pushing this FEMA camp, World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab, reset nonsense too far. What I see when I look at that George Floyd video is absurdity. And I definitely see a community that I would not want to live in. If the only solution to your neighbors being murdered is to wait, you know, it's basically to record it and then set other buildings on fire, then maybe there's a reason why people are being killed in your neighborhood. But if somebody comes to your town, if you live in a small town and you're walking down the street on a Saturday or a Sunday night and you see anybody, it might not even be a cop. It could be a cop in plain clothes. You might not be able to tell. All you see is one human being strangling another. What do you do? I don't know for certain what I would do. I know what I would hope I would do. I hope I would do something because I live there. And not because I'm obligated, not because someone has a gun to my head, but because it's a free choice. I don't know what I would do if I had kids. I really don't. I'm kind of to the point now where I'm kind of upset with a lot of people using that excuse. I cut a lot of people I knew a new slack. I cut a lot of slack in 2020 because I would say to myself, they have kids. They have kids. But you have kids. What kind of a world do you want them to grow up in? If the question is, how do you make the world better? You're not going to fix it all. But there's one thing you can try to do, and please listen. In your community, no matter how big, in your little neighborhood, no matter the size, on your home street, you can do what you can do to make sure people don't arbitrarily strangle to death other people. You can't solve New York City, you can't solve Chicago, and Minneapolis looks like a basket case. But in your own world, you can, I can, we can do the right thing. That's what I meant when I said I wish someone would have done something. Because I am supposed to believe that George Floyd was so beloved by the people in his community that the people in his community would watch him slowly die. Does that make any sense at all? Does it? And perhaps, maybe, the only likely solution to this is that it didn't really happen. Not really. There could have been an event, it could have been staged, and it's possible George Floyd is dead. Folks, psyops, you often kill people, you break a few eggs to make them look realistic. People did die on 9/11. 9/11 was a completely fake stage thing, but people did die. So yeah, you'll often kill people. It's called adding realism. But I'm not even sure George Floyd is dead. And I can't prove it, and neither can you. I do not want people to go out recklessly and engage with police. I would suggest you avoid cops. But I also have to say that we are at the point in the game where if the darkness comes to your sidewalk, I don't mean your Twitter timeline or your Facebook friends. I don't mean the virtual world. Please listen. Put down the smart device in this context. Think of it in these terms. I mean your home. I mean your sidewalk. I mean your field. I mean your community. Think about George Floyd, but imagine you're in a small town. Imagine you're in a town where people really do know each other, where people really supposedly do care about each other. And then imagine it happening, the same thing. And would it ever even happen? Is it even something that a cop would be so stupid to do and think they could get away with? Since when do police execute people in broad daylight while multiple people are recording them and giving them perfect face shots and smiles? No, I think police typically go someplace quiet and dark to do the executions. But again, Derek Chauvin, ex-stripper or something, maybe ex-porn star, that supposedly, you know, George Floyd was a porn star too. You know, when you dig into these stories, they look disgusting and they don't look real. But I'm supposed to believe that George Floyd was loved by his neighbors. And all I'm left with is that I guess his neighborhood wasn't too close to where he was killed. It must have been further away. It must have been so far away that no one could help him. Well, that's it, right? But if you lived in a small town, you know, like the town I live in right now, where there's a couple stoplights, and you're walking down the street, and maybe you're alone, you're the only person on the street, and you see somebody, yeah, strangling to death another person. Could be an adult man, could be an adult woman, could be a kid. I feel like everybody will save a kid. You would hope, right? But what would you do? And if you have kids, what would you do? And what would you tell your kids, if you had to, about what happened? Me personally, I think the gig is almost up. I think the nonsense is reaching its termination point. And I also think the center cannot hold. It's as likely as not that we have what I would call a quiet civil war, where basically, for all sorts of reasons, various communities politely say F you to the federal government, and it just simply happens like that. It could be that peaceful. I hope it is. It could be that the empire melts away, but some vestige of a quasi-free republic is left behind. That would be better than what we have right now. But what we have right now doesn't seem sustainable, doesn't seem functional. It feels like the one thing the Biden administration is really good at is telling people all the things they should be scared of. The one thing they're really good at is issuing bizarre and absurd edicts and supporting weird policies. But none of this is as threatening as it is an indication of collapse. My friend out there, the listener, who sent the email was worried that I'm trying to tell you guys to jump on grenades or storm the Bastille. No. I want to be clear about this too. You don't need to do anything. I don't need to do anything. I actually think what they've done with these psyops makes their situation immensely worse. It's another thing that keeps me up at night. As counterintuitive as that sounds, it boggles my mind why they would take what little structure they had functioning in 2019 and essentially set it on fire. And the argument I get is, well, it's the reset. There's going to be a new system of this. But guys, get real. get real. I've worked for the government enough to know that these are very incompetent people. They may have lots of resources, but those resources are a problem too. Remember the example I sometimes give of that 800-pound bedridden person. Maybe they have an easy scooter that they got, you know, with Medicare, like that commercial. Maybe they can go down the street and get like a 12-pack of Budweiser and a couple, 3 or 4 pints of ice cream once a day or twice a day. But the only person at this point they threaten really is themselves. Now, I'm not saying you should pick a fight with easy scooter 800-pound person, but I'm also trying to say don't be afraid of them. Don't assume they can do any of the nutty things they claim they can do. Our government will claim it can do a whole bunch of things, and a lot of folks will spread that mythology. A lot of folks in the liberty movement, a lot of folks who claim to believe in freedom will spread the mythology of the invincible state or the invincible cabal or the invincible whatever, you know, and they can't be stopped. And I've discussed this before too, and I would say once again, if you're a person in the freedom movement and that's your stance, why don't you just become a nihilist? Become a nihilist or form your own cabal. We shouldn't give up. We shouldn't be afraid of things that don't exist. We shouldn't be stupid. And I think this is to my friend's point and his email. We shouldn't be dumb. We need to pick our fights. But if you have a kid and they come to your door and they want to force your kid to have a vaccination that might be poison, what do you do? Do you let that stranger perform a medical procedure that you've had no time to evaluate and that is not actually FDA approved? Is that what you do? George Floyd might be easy. You're a mom, you're a dad, you're on a visit to Minneapolis. You see this happening and you keep walking. You're not a hero, but you're also not a villain, right? Because you don't live in that neighborhood. But if they come to your door and want to force a vaccination on you, which I don't think is going to happen, brothers and sisters, I think that's more psyop nonsense. I think that's an inflatable tank. But let's say they do. At that point, I can tell you if that's really what's going to happen, if that's really the direction of what's going on, if it is a campaign to kill a bunch of people and probably torture a few before they die, then you have zero to lose fighting back. Nothing. If you are in a situation where you can't escape, then the only option you have left is to fight. Fight or flight. Those are your options. The reason why people are getting adrenal fatigue, is because people are not given those options. There is no fight. There is no flight. There is just stewing in your juices until you reject the lie or you die. So let's ignore the messy case of George Floyd, because I, for one, don't believe it happened the way that we were told, and it might not have really happened at all in any reality. But let's ignore that messy case. Maybe, if you live in a small town, you don't help the person who's being strangled to death. My guess is you would. My guess is the guy who emailed me would too. Because I get the sense that he's a good dude. So chances are this dude would not walk down the street and see a neighbor being murdered. But again, these are important words. Neighbor, murdered, home, community. Do any of those terms at all, one or more, apply to the George Floyd incident? I mean, murder might apply. I don't even think that happened. But is there home? Is there community? Is there a concept of a neighbor in that whole story? It seems like a lot of people cared about George after he was dead. But where was this community leading up to that moment where he was slowly murdered by Derek? There's a lot of stuff about that's kind of shady, if you ask me. That's kind of disgusting. That's kind of gross. It doesn't make any sense. But it's not complicated if you live in the middle of nowhere. It's not complicated if they come to your door, and it's not complicated if they're armed. And if your next thing is, well, what if I'm not armed, Dan? I don't care. If your back is against the wall and all you have is a pencil, then use a pencil. Use a pencil, use a letter opener, pick up some chain. Maybe you still die. But if they're coming to people's doors to give them a vaccination that, frankly, you have no clue as to its real purpose, you don't really have a lot of options yet, you know, left there. You can run or you can fight. You're not going to go along with them. That's dumb. You're not going to go to the facility, wherever that is. I say you're not because I'm going to ask you not to. Because at that point, it stops being a psyop and it starts getting really actual, it gets real. If you go along with these folks, if they happen to show up at your door, if they do have guns, let me explain this. That means they're crooked. That means they're up to no good. I don't care if they're cops or gangbangers or fakers. If they come to your door with guns and threaten you with violence and tell you, you have to take this vaccine, what are your choices but to fight or to run? That's the sad reality of these situations. Now, for me, I think the good news is I don't believe that's going to happen. I think the reason why the eviction moratorium was extended is because they are doing as much as they can to keep people at home doing nothing. Doing nothing, to include just walking out their door to investigate the nonsense stories they're told. I will repeat, the Guardian newspaper said that the new juvenile prison was destroyed by fire. That never happened. Why do I know this? Because I lived across the street and I saw what happened. So one of the things everybody can do, if they are claiming, let's say you live 5 miles from a hospital and they're telling you there's a massive COVID surge. You know what you could do? You could get in your truck and you can drive to that hospital and you can quickly take a picture of the parking lot. And if you're even a little brave, you can go into the emergency room and take a quick video of that. A lot of the people that I know who have reported on this particular phenomenon have just come back and said to me, Dan, nothing's happening. It's BS. So if the question is, what can we do? There are things we can do. And they don't involve fighting with violence yet. But if it comes down to your life or the lives of your family, what choice do you have? Are you simply going to give in? Is that what we're supposed to do? I don't think so. I think the dude that emailed me, his heart was in the right place. He felt that I was being unfair, but I want to be clear. I really don't think any of that nonsense happened. Not the way we were told. And if George Floyd had been the beloved member of that community, I'll go a step further. I think a lot of people would have done something. I don't think his neighbors, if they really loved him, would have just stood around. And yeah, maybe you take the risk of having the crooked cop be more crooked. But none of this makes any sense. Like I said, since when do cops execute people in our country in the middle of the street? I've seen pictures from the Vietnam War of cops, you know, doing that sort of thing. But again, Vietnam War. Is it really a common practice for police in this country to execute people in the street like that? Yeah, they'll shoot people. They'll definitely come to your house with a SWAT team and shred you. But it seems like when it comes to just, you know, executions, these are things they do in private because everything else they can explain. They can explain the raid on someone's home. Well, this person was dangerous, you know. You know, Duncan Limp, right? Duncan? He was dangerous, so they had to tear him up, right? So they'll come to your home and they'll tear up your home and they'll shoot you. And they can justify that. And they'll shoot people in the street and they'll justify that. But like I said, when it comes to executions, since when do they do those on camera? And if you want to say they're dumb cops, once again I say, why are you so afraid of them? Yes, they have a gun. Guns have to be aimed accurately. If you have a little bit of courage and a few friends, you'd be surprised how quickly you could overcome a few cops. They're not super people. They're not. A lot of them, frankly, are a very low character. A lot of them are not capable of doing the jobs that they would like you to believe they can do. So we need to also not be afraid of them. We need to avoid them. I would definitely not engage with them. I wouldn't take them on. But if a cop is harming someone you love and it's 2021, what do you have to lose? If you say, well, I might go to jail, maybe we might all go to jail. I don't see how that's going to happen. And wouldn't it be amazing if enough people simply threw away all the fear-mongering, threw away all the psyops, and simply did something? So yeah, definitely secure yourself and the people you love. Definitely get the resources you need to do what you need to do. But a lot of people, like myself, have been pushed as far as they're going to go. And other than a few simple strategies that I might engage with in counter-economic terms, I'm not running from a fight at this point. If a fight comes to the door, it's something we have to live with. I'm also not afraid of the fight because I don't think it's coming. I think the reason why the troops are coming home from Afghanistan is actually kind of simple. It's the same reason why we didn't see any razor wire until after 1-6 this year. For all the nonsense in Seattle and Portland and Indianapolis and Minneapolis, all I saw for months and months and months were rubber cones. Brothers and sisters, rubber cones don't deter dogs. They're not going to deter anybody wanting to commit violence. When you want to control an area, and this is what I learned in the military, you use anchored triple-strand concertina wire, like what you're beginning to see around Washington, D.C. These troops are not coming home to break down your door to give you the drugs. These troops are coming home, maybe, as a last-ditch attempt to protect the empire from collapse. And it's not going to work. For all the lying about vaccinations, like 75% or 80% are vaccinated, I call bullshit. I think it's clear that service people don't want to get vaccinated, and so it seems like we're already at a point where there's going to be problems. And I would also prefer that cooler heads prevail. I think the United States is sick of war. I think we're sick of the wars overseas, and the last thing most of us want is a war at home. So I guess I'm kind of returning to that far-flung hope that we may be on the verge of a quiet civil war, a civil war that will occur, things will get resolved, but perhaps without violence. Perhaps this time it'll be just a kind of peaceable divorce. It's clear a lot of people in this country can't get along with each other. Heck, a lot of families can't get along with each other. It's clear that there are people in this country that believe nonsense and that still, even after the last 100+ years of central banking catastrophe, want to keep playing the central banking game. I don't want to live in that country any longer, but I was born in the United States. And I have more of a right to be here than the Eccles Building and every crooked banker in it. Every single one. So for anybody who would say, well, Dan, why don't you go to Somalia? I would say, buddy, why don't you F off? That would be my response. And I'm not going to tell you it's because I served my country, because that's crap. Yeah, I served. I served in peacetime. And I'm glad I got out. And I'm not really that happy that I was dumb enough in my 20s to do it. I really am not happy at how stupid I was. So I'm not going to say, but I served my country. No. What I'm going to say is I was born in Mount Vernon, Washington. Maybe more accurately at the Cedar Woolley General Hospital or the one in Burlington. I think it was in Cedar Woolley. Who knows? Maybe that's more accurate. But I grew up in Mount Vernon, Washington. That's a place I was born. Right now, I'm living in a place where I have friends, I have a roof over my head, I have food, I have water. I have a lot. If you're asking me, what do I think I want to do? I think I'm going to live and be who I am until I die. I have no interest in engaging with gigantic, stupid, dying things. So if you're going to say, well, do you want to like get involved in a war against the federal government? No, because it's not necessary. That thing is dying and it's dangerous, but it's dying. So just let it die and don't be nearby when it collapses. You might get squished. We should not do stupid things. And so to the gentleman's point, I don't suggest you engage with cops randomly. And that is where I want to clarify. I don't suggest that you become a superhero. I don't suggest that you form some sort of vigilante squad like the Guardian Angels and you go around neighborhoods looking for evildoers. What I would suggest is actually deeper. If you live in a community, perhaps one of the indications that you live in a healthy community is that no one would dare murder somebody in public, in broad daylight like that. They probably wouldn't murder anybody anyways if you lived in a healthy community, but definitely they wouldn't say to themselves, nobody will care. One of the messages of these types of executions is nobody cares. But wouldn't you think your neighbors would care if you have neighbors, like real ones, like the ones we had growing up? Forget about the cops for a second. I'd like to talk about something more dangerous called fire. Because even a cop, a dumb cop, a ridiculous cop, a domestic violence, wife-beating cop, even a cop has a brain with cognition, and you can at least apply game theory. But you can't do that with a fire, you know. So let's say your neighbor's house was on fire and you live in the country, But you live about, let's say, a quarter of a mile from your neighbor's home. Not that far. A quarter of a mile is basically a foot, you know, going around the football field in high school. One lap. And you're not in seriously bad shape. Your heart's not messed up. But guess what? The phones are out. And their house is on fire. And you know that there's a family there. You know them. They're not strangers to you. That fire is not a cop. That fire doesn't get a salary. That fire will obey no ethical principles at all. So in terms of confronting something, confronting that fire would be dangerous. And let's say you have kids in a family. What do you do? Do you watch your neighbor's house burn down without doing anything, without even trying? And if it was your home, and if it was happening to you, what would you want a good neighbor to do? To simply watch, to record it, to make sure it's on TikTok? I'm not talking to the person who emailed me. I'm talking to the people that believe the George Floyd story is true. Because if it's true, you have to believe some fairly crappy things about people. You really do. You do. You have to believe that in the calculus of people in that neighborhood, all of whom so loved him so much that it led to burning down lots of places, you have to believe that they would just as soon watch him die. And if your next statement is, that's everywhere, that's every town, that's every neighborhood, that's every neighbor that lives a quarter of a mile away from a neighbor, number one, I call bullshit, and number two, if that were true, then that would mean that Judgment Day is near. If we've reached the point where every neighborhood would watch somebody be strangled to death, and I don't care who it is, would watch somebody's home burn down without trying because, hey, there might be a fire department coming. If we've reached the point where we just don't care about our neighbors because they might interrupt our time on Facebook, then Judgment Day is right around the corner. But the right answer when it comes to someone in your community being murdered, the right answer is not to do nothing. It is the right answer for people who vote. It is the right answer for people who pay property taxes. I guarantee you, there were crazy, weird, foolish, absurd people that lived in Capitol Hill last summer while the snake pit called Chapchaschopia was being run. I guarantee you there were people that owned $500,000 homes, $1 million homes and condos that were sealed in by Mayor Jenny Durkin with the commies for about 6 weeks. I guarantee they keep voting. I guarantee that they go back to their habits, that they never question the property taxes they pay, despite the fact that their own government used their resources against them and may even have put their lives at risk, because I think a lot of shady stuff was happening in Chapchaschopia. Nothing remotely related to Black Lives Matter, nothing remotely related to helping African Americans, but there was a lot of other creepy stuff going on probably. People that paid property taxes on Capitol Hill and were locked in to Chapchaschopia, I'm fairly certain they're going to keep voting. I wouldn't even be surprised if many of them keep voting for Mayor Jenny Durkin. I don't know what you call that. I call that an asylum, but it's not a community. It's not a neighborhood. If that is what you think is the appropriate response to what happened, to simply keep supporting the crooked people so they can be even more crooked to you, then I don't know who you are, but I don't want to live next to you. It sounds like all you want is slavery and punishment. I want to live near people who have the courage to do something. And the good news is I've made some friends in recent years. And I think I'd include the guy in the email because I don't think he would let his neighbor's house burn. But I've met some people in recent years that are like me. I think they would prefer that people do something rather than nothing. And I actually have evidence in the case of a few of these people that they do something rather than nothing, even though it puts them at risk. And it does put them at risk. But they would rather not be the people that turned away and pretended that the thing was happening. That's what I would say is key about these folks, is that they wouldn't let their neighbor's house burn without doing something. They wouldn't let someone in their neighborhood or community be murdered in the street in broad daylight without doing something, without trying. We will never know. That's the thing. If you think the George Floyd thing was true, I keep coming back to this also. We will never know all the damage that might have been avoided, all the quote-unquote lives that were lost, if you believe the story. All the cities that burnt, if someone had done something, that might not have happened. It's not just as simple as saving George Floyd. It seems like saving him would have saved a lot of people, but like I said, I don't think it happened, and it didn't happen the way that they told us. I think that the Antifa and the BLM are part of another kind of psyop, and the only thing I've been able to derive in the last year and a half is that they are consistently and constantly mind-screwing all of us. Beyond that, I don't know why for sure. I don't think any of us know. No one knows. As cool as my friend is, he might have a theory, but he doesn't know. The only person that knows is God. And God is the only person that knows the truth about George Floyd at this point. Well, maybe a few other people, but these people don't worship God. So the real truth is something we may not find. But I would prefer to live in a community where people would do something rather than nothing. And I don't buy the stories. I don't accept the general description. I don't believe what we saw was some organic manifestation. What we saw was orchestrated. What we saw is pretty much what Jim and I talked about. It was the halftime show. And then COVID came back for quarters 3 and 4. We're in the fourth quarter now, brothers and sisters, in my humble opinion. We're in the fourth quarter of COVID. We had the race war halftime show. We have the periodic timeout, you know, mind screws. Hey, cartoonists are racist, crazy. But this is the fourth quarter, in my opinion. This is the point at which, in the game, where we're going to find out, you know, who wins, who loses. This is the fourth quarter. There are no more timeouts. There's no way to extend the clock. The score is not tied. And this is the fourth quarter. Beyond that, I don't know what to say.